Welcome to Trial Lawyer View, a podcast for and about trial lawyers. We tell the stories about trial lawyers who go to battle every day in courtrooms throughout the United States for injury victims. This is about their stories and their practices. Trial Lawyer View is brought to you by Synergy Settlement Services. Synergy allows trial lawyers to focus on what they do best by handling the difficult issues that arise in settlement, like troublesome lien resolution issues, Medicare secondary payer compliance, government benefit preservation techniques, and complex settlement consulting. Without further delay, here's another episode of Trial Lawyer View with Joseph Tunstall.
Welcome to the Trial Lawyer View podcast. In today's episode, I get the pleasure of talking with Joseph Tunstall, a highly experienced trial lawyer based in North Carolina. With a focus on catastrophic injury cases, Joe Tunstall has tried over 100 cases in the Superior Courts of North Carolina, advocating for seriously injured individuals. He is known for his commitment to using modern technology and updated trial techniques to secure favorable outcomes for his clients. From personal injury and vehicle accidents to workers' compensation and Social Security cases, Joe's extensive trial experience and dedication to his clients makes him a formidable advocate in the courtroom. Joe is a graduate of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill with a Bachelor of Arts degree in history and of Wake Forest University with a Juris Doctor degree. In today's episode, we are going to delve into his unique insights and his approach to law firm practice management. Joe, welcome to Trial Lawyer View. Appreciate you taking the time to be with me here today.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for inviting me.
So I wanted to start out with a question about technology because, you know, things are moving so fast. And as technology continues to evolve, specifically things like AI, how are you guys going to deploy new technologies in your law practice to streamline processes and improve client experience?
Well, I appreciate the question. So one of the issues for us has been with technology. We're a plaintiff's firm. We try to run as lean as possible. And so when any of these new technologies are coming out, we're always trying to test them and see what we can use them for and how. And kind of our background on that is I've been trying cases since 2000. And initially we moved into trying cases as short as possible using PowerPoint. Then we moved into trial pad and trying an entire case with just your iPad, and which I still use and still think is a great piece of technology. And then as we've, as AI has gotten better and better, we're trying to figure out what pieces we can outsource, what pieces we can use from that technology to make things easier for a jury and for us to spend less time getting them ready. So a good example is I keep waiting for AI to get to a place where it will take my medical records and summarize them for me. It's not quite there yet. Some people are trying, but that will be the type of thing that when that comes out, we're going to be playing with that like crazy. Because anything where we can save money for the client and get something done faster is where we're looking to use technology.
Well, after the podcast concludes, I need to talk to you about someone that we've actually been doing some testing with that is deploying that kind of technology specifically in the personal injury space. So it's interesting that you bring that up. And it actually sort of leads into the next question, because I know from doing some research for the podcast that you guys switched case management software systems or partnered with LitFi. And I was curious about how that's enhanced your efficiency and your firm's operations. Because we actually work with a lot of these case management software programs to make it easier for our clients to digitally interface with us. And LitFi, I know, is one that we have done some work with so that firms can basically, with the touch of a button, send the information out of their case management software systems to us for us to do the lien resolution function or the Medicare compliance function. But I did want to ask just about what led to that and how that sort of the evolution of those platforms are going to help with the technology explosion that's happening.
Well, I guess our firm started in 1977, and we integrated our first computer in our firm in, I think, 81. So our firm's used computers for a long time. And when I started here in 2000, we needed to add the internet, is a nice way to put it. So we went with a technology program in about 2003, and we're with the same platform from 2003 until recently. And every about 3 years, I would sit down and look at every product on the market and say, is it going to actually not just have bells and whistles and be pretty, but is it actually going to help us manage clients' cases faster? Is it going to allow us to be more productive? And quite frankly, as a plaintiff's firm, allow us to be a little leaner, have less staff, but get more done for the clients. And until that really came about in the last couple of years, we just weren't willing to move. As you know, any of these changes are extremely expensive. They're time consuming. You really want to turn it into what your program is. And we did that in 2003 and 2004. So I'm aware of how bad it can be. And so we really waited until we found a product that I thought would allow us to have 5 to 6 years of technology into the future help. And I'm hoping that Litify's our platform forever, but at least 5 or 6 years, it seems to be ahead of where everybody else is. So for example, my mother is in her mid-70s and she would rather text me than call me sometimes. So one of the big things is we wanted text and the ability for our folks to be able to text directly out of their computer system, directly to clients, and then save those texts so we have a written record of every piece. Same thing with medical records. We're working with you guys at Synergy. I want it to be a one touch. Okay, here's what we have. We hit a button. It uploads into your server. Y'all do what you do. It comes right back down into our program without having to employ other personnel that come back behind it and move and physically move things within the program itself, so that we can employ higher level paralegals and less legal assistant type work.
Yeah, the administrative tasks and burdens on a personal injury law firm are something that we talk about in terms of the efficiency of, you know, outsourcing lien resolution. What we, you know, one of the primary things that we offer to personal injury law firms, because the amount of time when you start adding up those tasks that it takes for someone that's highly skilled to do it, it quickly adds up to dollars that are going out the door that can be recaptured by just making sure, as you've talked about, running as efficiently and as lean as possible. And that good segue into the next question. And I had, in doing research, seen you had written a little bit about the Entrepreneurial Operating System, EOS, which is something Synergy used that I brought to the company years ago. And that has been very important in terms of our ability to scale and grow. I'm curious how you guys have leveraged that to become more efficient and productive in terms of your team.
Jason, you have a much larger team than I do, and I would imagine that you probably use it for similar fashion than I do. You probably don't have an opportunity to have a meeting with every single person every single week. So for us as a law firm, we spent 20 years without a leadership team. And that sounds ridiculous, but my law partner, Susan, and I, we just kind of, you know, well, you handle this and you handle that. And the problem is there were so many things that were just falling through the cracks. And we brought in a consultant by the name of Ed Oman, who was actually running doctor's offices outside of Tampa, Florida, before he retired back to North Carolina. And when he came in, he's like, you really need to look at one of these operating systems. My suggestion is EOS because it allows for less meetings, the meetings to be more productive and more organized, and for you to set your goals on a 90-day rotating basis and then move towards those 90 days. And for a law firm, you look at, well, what is your goal? Well, our goal is to move cases forward for clients more efficiently and quicker. And if we bring something in, like a new piece of technology, like when we started working with your firm several years ago, it was, you know, it allowed us to have an organized, specific set of criteria and meetings to move forward and get everything set up, and without it taking 2 years worth of changing of protocol. And for us, that was a really big deal. We love to outsource. And so for us, it was stay lean, be able to work with these outside partners that actually help get everything done more quickly, and then use these processes and these L10 meetings to have as few meetings as possible, but have them much more productive. And it sounds like you've been doing EOS longer than I have. What is that your experience as well?
Yeah, I think it's the productivity increase from more focused meetings that actually get things done. It's having the rocks, which are the things that you're trying to accomplish over the next quarter, and continually focusing the team on how their individual rocks roll up to the bigger corporate rocks that we set on an annualized basis with the VTO, the Vision Traction Organizer, which is getting more into the weeds of US than we probably need to here. But I believe in using that type of framework, particularly when you're scaling and growing, because it does help you focus on making sure that, one, there's alignment, because when you do the VTO, the annualized vision of where the organization's going, it gives the team something to have a true north to. But, you know, there are many different ways to go about it. And I just have found that the EOS system was a good foundational way for us to continue to grow and scale the organization.
And I agree with you. For a law firm, for example, instead of teams, we have different practice areas. We have Social Security, we have personal injury, and within personal injury, we have our litigation section and we have our pre-lit section. And so for each of these teams, it allows them to have individual meetings. And then we have the larger, you know, section meeting. And then, you know, once a quarter, we sit down with everybody and say, okay, here are our big organizational goals for the next 90 days, and then have everybody focusing on that. And it's for even for a law firm, I mean, we ultimately need to run like a business so that we're here for our clients and so that we're financially viable to move forward. And I don't know if when you work with other law firms, you can probably tell which ones run it that way and which ones everybody's kind of doing their own thing their own way.
Yeah. And that's, you know, an important transition that I think starting to happen is the idea of, well, you know, does a law firm have a CEO and a COO? You know, what does the leadership structure look like? How should it run? I think, at least my opinion is, and others that I've had on the podcast, you've talked about this, you know, I feel like it is important to run a law firm like a business. Now, there are still things that differentiate between a law firm and a company in terms of just, you know, because you're trying cases and litigation and all that stuff changes some things, but the fundamentals and having, you know, metrics that measure things within the firm, those are all things that help you understand the health and help you make sure that you're running it as lean as you've talked about and profitably as you can, because that also translates into a better customer experience, because that gives you more dollars to invest in things that perhaps you wouldn't be able to invest in if you're not running optimally. So, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why, you know, law practices really do need to be focused on running the right way. And part of EOS is also scorecards and knowing what your metrics are and looking at those things to make sure you're headed in the right direction.
Well, and that's been our experience is, you know, before EOS, we never characterized our time and money in such a way that we would be able to know what new types of projects we could run. So, for example, we handle a lot of litigation, and sometimes you look at a case and you go, oh, that would be a great case to bring into the office. But if you look at your numbers and the reality is it would really be a better case to refer out to this other person because they can spend more time on it and they are more organized for that particular type of case. Even though it looks really pretty and looks like something that would be a lot of fun to do, if you can disinterestedly look at your numbers and say, look, for this quarter, we've really maxed out on what we're going to be able to work on, and that would be a really better one to refer out. And that's hard. But for an A++ personality person who wants to go handle it all and go try every case, that's a tough decision. So taking it out of my hands from an emotional standpoint and allowing it to be more of a numbers-based decision is really helpful. And it's better for the client. And at the end of the day, I mean, that's as a professional, that's what we're supposed to do.
So I think that is also a good segue into the question of, you know, you do see some really good lawyers who actually struggle as law firm owners. I'm wondering if you've seen some common pitfalls, say the top three pitfalls that lawyers and firms can identify to make sure that they ultimately are able to overcome those types of things in the running of the law practice.
I think it's a really good question and one that I personally have dealt with over and over and over again, because the biggest issue is for a law firm owner who's also trying to do it all. The first piece you have to get rid of, and the first thing that EOS really talks about, is getting rid of the ego. If I'm doing it all, then what is the best use of my time? Is it answering the phone? Well, no, we have a receptionist that does that, right? Is it answering discovery? Well, no, I've got a really good paralegal who can do that. So what is the best use of my time? And so when I talk to folks who are struggling to run their own firm, but were great attorneys in other firms before they decided to go run their own firm, it's always how far in the weeds do you get? And so the first thing I would say is you've got to decide how far in the weeds you're going to be able to get and practice law and run a law firm. And at a certain size, you may not be able to both practice law and run your law firm, or you have to make a decision. And we're in the process of this decision right now where, you know, Susan and I are probably going to bring somebody in to run the firm in sometime in the next year, because the highest and best use of my time is probably trying cases. That's where I enjoy it. That's my thing. But that may not be somebody else's. They may want to come in and continually manage. But I've also had to realize by looking at my numbers and everything else that I'm much better for this organization and for clients trying cases than I am trying to figure out who is supposed to be working on Tuesday and whether we're going to move one of our offices to this site or the other site. That's probably something somebody else can do. But I have to give up that control. So the number one pitfall I see is control. And then the second piece I see that is just which probably goes right back to where we started, which is you got to know your numbers. Even if I give up control, everyday control as the owner, I'm still responsible for understanding all of my numbers and what they are and what percentage of what's our signup percentage as a PI firm, right? So if we drop below 20% and we're down to, you know, 11% for 2 months, I need to know why. I may not be the one to fix it, but I need to know that that's going on. So I see a lot of trouble with people who are trying to move over from working in a law firm to owning it. They just don't know what the numbers are, and they don't know which numbers to look at, which is what EOS helps with. And that was kind of how we made the decision to work with your firm, right? Was I'm looking at the numbers and I'm going, okay, I kept up with my time. And I realized that almost 50% of my time was being spent after settlement on working on cases. 50% of my time was being spent after settlement. And some firms will say, well, I've got this really good paralegal and she can handle that. Okay, how much time are you spending managing that? And if you're not managing it, how well is that being handled for your client? And so we did some test cases, talked with Troy in your office, and ran some test cases. And the Pepsi challenge was they were being resolved for a better result for the client than they were by me trying to handle those and going to try the next case and doing the 15 other things. So the biggest pitfalls that I would see if I'm looking at the top three are control, and then your time management, and then ultimately deciding what it is you can do and what it is you can't do, and then making those decisions.
Not great points. Yeah, you know, and interesting, just when you were talking about managing a paralegal, like there are firms that have these phenomenal paralegals that are doing a lot of the lien resolution work, our niche. But what I would always say to a law firm owner or the law firm COO is, well, if you've got that good of a paralegal, why do you want them working on something that can be outsourced instead of moving another case closer towards resolution or prepping another case for trial, something that really is going to improve customer experience or client's experiences because their case is getting more attention because paralegal and attorney time are not wrapped up in some of these issues post-resolution of the case. So, you know, it is a really important point, and I think it's just something that isn't always at the forefront, because if a firm isn't looking at their metrics and understanding them, that's part of what you don't see is the opportunities there to run in a manner that is probably going to be better for your team and ultimately better customer experience, client experience, which turns into more referrals. I mean, when you think through that concept, it really is such an important, critical concept for any business to think about, is how do we improve customer experience and how do we make sure our team's operating as efficiently as possible?
Well, and what ends up happening with these liens, if you're not working with a group like yours, is they end up, first of all, sitting. And the beautiful part when I finish a case and we send the email to our rep or hit the button, whichever, depending on which way it's set up in our system, and let them know, hey, it's resolved, here's the amount, and they start working on it, that's what they do all day long. They're not also taking in intake calls, and they're not working on discovery, and they're not doing 75 other things in the firm. Their job is to resolve that lien for as little as possible every time. And so when we started kind of working with you guys, at first it was, okay, we're only going to do these kind of liens, and then we're only going to do these kind of liens. And then it became, okay, every single lien in the office must be opened by this group. And then the beautiful part with having a good working relationship is then with someone like we work with Troy a lot in your office. And if we get to one that ultimately I may not need them on, we do such a volume and we have a good communication. I just pick up the phone and say, hey, Troy, on this one, let's take a look at it. You know, we may not need you on this one. It looks like it's going to be just a pure statutory distribution. And same thing with Medicaid. Right now, we're filing a lot of Medicaid petitions in North Carolina to reduce the amount of Medicaid. And he works with me really closely on those, which has just been a really good deal.
Yeah, actually, I'm personally involved here in Florida because we have to litigate those Medicaid liens here in the state of Florida, and Synergy can't do that. So I've always maintained my law practice, so I actually do those myself here in the state. Really, Florida is kind of a, our statute was the one that went up in 2022 for the U.S. Supreme Court to basically roll back a little bit on Allborn, unfortunately, with that ruling, because they allowed future medicals come into the equation because of that sort of the statute was written. So it's interesting what the impact of all that's been. But, you know, that's part of being a true partner with the firms that we work with, is really understanding what their needs are, making sure ultimately, you know, that we're handling the things that do make sense. Because there are certainly, you know, variations across the country, like California's got a specific statutory reduction that, you know, that that's automatic. And we don't want to do things that are not going to maximize ultimately the injured party's recovery, because that's what I always talk about with our team, is the most important thing is how do we help and maximize the injured party's recovery while being a good partner to the law firms that choose to work with us. So I wanted to ask you about the Relentless Lawyer Bootcamp, because when I saw the program, it sort of talked to me about like all these things. And I'm curious about how you got involved with that particular conference and how that factors into the things that we've been talking about.
It's an interesting segue. I think they're actually having their next one right now. And I couldn't go speak this week because I've got 30 B6 depositions the rest of the week. So, but it's a really interesting group. So I started working with Andy Stickle and Bill several years ago. We were looking at changing advertising firms, and they were two different firms at the time. And right around the same time we couldn't decide between the two groups, which one we were going to work with. And then they joined. It made it really easy. So we do coaching with them as well as they do some of our online advertising. And the coaching is my favorite part. The most interesting part of working with a group like that is they don't really care whether you do PI or you do family law or what you do. They're an EOS-based coaching system and an advertising firm. And so what they've done is say, okay, there's a lot of third-party pieces to this. And as they discover each new niche that they need help with, they brought in virtual assistants. They brought in, so Ethan Ostroff, who is a personal injury attorney in Pennsylvania, was also running a virtual assistant firm before he became an attorney. And Ethan's super bright. So they brought him in as a partner because they realized that people were having a lot of trouble running lean and also doing a really good job for folks. So again, it's that EOS mentality of you need to know your numbers, you need to do a good job, but at the same time, you don't have to go spend $150,000 on an intake system. So Ethan, through the virtual assistant program that he runs, does like a nights and weekends program. So instead of an answering service, you get a real live trained person who understands how to answer your phone your way, works for you, but is offshore. So again, it's a third party group, and I've worked with every answering service in the world in the last 23 years, and nothing beats someone that you train and explain how to do things. You just can't beat it. So that's how I got involved with Andy and Bill. I've really enjoyed my time with them. Their coaching program takes lawyers who, like me, don't want to be business people, and then reminds you that if you're not running a business, then you're going to fail. I think that's a pretty good program. Most of the conversations we have are around EOS and making sure you've got your quarterly goals, your rocks and boulders, right? And then and also making sure you every year sit down and just write out your VTO, because if you don't know where you're going, how in the world do you get there? And for someone like me, I don't want to be a 50 person law firm. That's never been my goal. I want to do really good work in large cases with a good team of folks who are all very well trained as trial lawyers. And that may mean, and Jason, you and I may have this conversation outside of the podcast at some point. I'm still trying to figure out when you bring in someone to run everything and at what size you have to be. You know, do you have to be a $10 million firm? Do you have to be a $3 million firm? At some point, if you decide that your best use of your time is trying cases, is that when you bring somebody in? It's an interesting concept, and those are the kind of things that the Relentless Lawyer Boot Camp is supposed to help people make the decision on.
So that I'm curious, because I know that you've presented and you talked about that you couldn't present this time around, but when you have presented, are there things that you've presented on that we haven't already talked about? Because I'm just curious if there's something else that we could add to this that might be, well, one, a reason why somebody might want to, you know, go and sign up for the Relentless Boot Camp, or, you know, two, just something that we haven't touched upon that you think is important.
Well, most of what they've asked me to talk about is running a smaller firm. You know, we've got five lawyers through an EOS process. So I think we've touched on a lot of that. And then the ability to run less people getting more done. So again, we've already touched on this, but again, that third party type situation. I've talked a little bit about with them also, you know, we do outsourcing with you. We also do outsourcing of our medical record retrieval. Again, what was the best use of my paralegal's time? Well, it was two things, you know, drafting things for us to use. And then the second piece was client communication. At the end of the day, I've never had a client say, hey, look, I really wish you'd spend an extra, you know, 2 hours on the phone with that adjuster instead of calling me back to tell me what's going on. They'd rather have better communication. And so if my paralegals are doing a good job with communication and I'm doing a good job with my paralegals of communicating with them what's going on, and then our system is set up so they can see everything we do and how it's being done, then the more communication we have, the better the whole thing goes, which is what we've run into with you guys. Having somebody like Troy that we can have really good communication with just trickles down into a better experience all the way from the beginning.
Well, if you want to hear a lot on that subject, I did a podcast with Joey Coleman, who wrote a book, Never Lose a Customer Again. And we talked all about that customer experience. And he's a, what he calls a recovering lawyer. And it was interesting talking about his book in the context of law practices, but that idea of communication. I mean, the more time that the staff spends on that, usually the better the customer experience is, because that's generally the complaint, is that they're not getting enough communication about what's going on with their case. So great.
One of my audiobooks, I certainly have listened to his book and heard him on podcast. It may have been your podcast, but definitely heard him on podcast. His ideas are really, really, really good. And his story of starting out in a law firm and realizing that they had some real communication problems is a great story.
Yeah, absolutely. So last substantive question. Well, and this is sort of open-ended. I always end with this in terms of the questions for guests, but what is your view as a trial lawyer? And you can answer that however you want. If it's something totally unrelated to that, fine. I just wanted to give you that last thing to give your insights.
Well, I appreciate it. My view as a trial lawyer is you have to try cases. It's really interesting to me. I get asked to speak, and you know, I've worked with Don Keenan and David Ball and their stuff over the years, and I get asked to speak about trying cases, and it's really interesting. I get in front of a room full of trial lawyers, and you know, one of my first questions is always like, how many people here have tried one case? How about five cases? How about 10 cases? You know, I start going up the line, right? And our job is to try cases. Now, that doesn't mean try bad cases. But when you have significant coverage, bad injury, and a you know, sympathetic client, our job is to go try that case until they buy us out, right? Till they offer so much money for the client that we've done our job. And it's really interesting to me the number of folks who don't understand that. And then the second piece being the number who don't spend time with their associates and their younger lawyers in the office teaching those skills. So we recently had an attorney, wonderful lawyer, that started working with us, who's got 28, 29 years of experience litigating cases. And he came in and I said, Matt, what do you want to do? He said, I want to teach young lawyers how to try cases. I said, okay, I got a home for you. The office is right across the hall. Come in and help people learn how to try cases. That's what I think the future of what we do is, because if we ever get away from that, I think we've lost the calling of what brings people into what we do.
Great point. So can you tell listeners a little bit about your firm and its practice, and then how they can get in touch with you if they have a case they like co-counsel or refer to you, or maybe ask you about Relentless or anything that we've talked about today?
Yes, sir. My name is Joe Tunstall. We have offices in Concord, Raleigh, and Eastern North Carolina, and two offices in Eastern North Carolina. We can be easily found on our website, O'MalleyTunstall.com, or on Facebook, or pretty much any social media that you type in the word O'Malley Tunstall in North Carolina will probably pull up.
And we'll make sure to link to your website and provide your information on the show notes for today's episode. Joe, I really enjoyed our conversation. Thank you for joining me on Trial Lawyer Review today.
Thank you so much, and I really appreciate it, Jason.
And we'll see everyone on the next episode.
Thank you for tuning in to Trial Lawyer View. We hope you enjoyed today's discussion and encourage you to tune in to our next episode for more helpful insights about your practice. This podcast is brought to you by Synergy Settlement Services. Visit synergysettlements.com to learn more about how we allow trial lawyers to focus on what they do best.